for him. So think about it.
Thank you.
Some of the first songbooks that were produced did not have notes. They were simply words, somewhat like we have been singing tonight. And many of those songs were simply directly from the Bible. Some of the songs that we've sung tonight were word for word from the scriptures, at least from some translations. And others, as you noticed, were almost word for word, with maybe adding or putting some words together to make the sentences fit. Back a few months ago, in a congregation some distance from here, the song leader of the congregation objected to singing some of the songs like we have in the back of our book. You know, in the back of our songbook, we have several songs that do not have the music. They're the type of song, some of which we've been singing tonight. And so one of the song leaders did. Another song leader in that congregation, after talking with the elders, decided that they just sing from the Bible. That if they couldn't sing these songs out of the songbook with no notes, they could at least sing from the Bible. And from that, I got the idea to try what we're doing tonight. You know, if you were somewhere and you just had your Bible, you did not have a songbook, you had a group of people together who wanted to worship God, you could do exactly what we have done for the last few minutes. Passages like the one in Matthew 6:33, Galatians 2:20 are passages that you simply just sing the words that are in the scripture. And that's certainly a wonderful way to teach God's word. At the same time, our songs that we have teach God's word, even if they're not directly from the Bible, word for word. Most of the songs that we have in our songbook are prompted either by a passage of scripture or by something maybe that happened in a person's life of a spiritual nature to bring about the penning of the words, which then were put to music, to notes, so that they could be sung. Tonight I want us to look at number 345 in the book. You will remember that Colossians 3:16 tells us that we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we are singing, certainly as we were singing tonight, we were teaching God's word. We were admonishing each other to seek first the kingdom of God and to live a crucified life with Christ, and other ideas that were involved in those songs. In fact, in some of the services that we have, we emphasize singing and do not have a sermon as such, but we do our teaching through our singing. And many of the songs are excellent for that. I want you to look at the three verses that are in this song tonight, and then we will use it as an invitation song. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills, and streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with glad, unsparing hand, a stream more wide with deeper tide, flows on to lower land. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps, nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream, now turned to brine, lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead. And then the question, which shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take to give again? For he who once was rich indeed laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. If you know anything about Bible lands, and if you have seen a map drawn of Bible lands, you very probably have seen it almost begin with these two seas. In many of the Bible geography books, especially where there is a map where you're supposed to put the cities and the regions and things like that, will be drawn literally with a line down this side as you're looking at it that represents the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and then a line down on the other side that represents the Jordan River. And in between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River will be many of the places such as Jerusalem and Nazareth and some of those very important places in both Old Testament and New Testament times. And on the other side of the Jordan River, from that part of the Bible lands, are areas that were involved in other activities that took place, especially the section from whence the children of Israel came when they crossed the Jordan River to come into the land of Canaan. But usually when that line is drawn of the Jordan River, near the top there will be a small circle, and then there will be a line, and then there will be a bigger circle. Sometimes there will be an even smaller circle farther up that represents another little body of water, but usually those two are emphasized. There is one at the top, and you'll usually see the line coming into the circle and going out of the circle at the bottom, and then it goes on down to the larger circle farther down the sheet of paper, and you'll notice there as you look at it that there's a line going into the top of that circle and no line going out of it. That is to represent the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, called by other names, but probably known best to us by that name, the Sea of Galilee. And then farther south, a bigger body of water called the Dead Sea. Now that's exactly what's being referred to in these first two verses in this song. There is a sea which day by day receives and gives. That's the Sea of Galilee. Smith's Bible Dictionary says that the Sea of Galilee is a sea whose water is sweet, transparent, and sparkling. It is a sea that is full of life, especially fish. It is a sea that has a pebbly beach. And if you were to read on in that and in some of the encyclopedias, you would find a description of much of the life of Christ as it was spent around that sea. Not only Christ, but many others were associated with it. Toward the northern end of it is the city of Capernaum that Jesus probably would have called home if he had had a place that was really his home. It's the place where Peter lived, where Jesus would have had the incident with Peter's wife's mother in the city of Capernaum, right by the shore of the sea. Farther down is the place where Jesus called some of his apostles by this sea. And not far from where it is thought that he called, especially those who were the fishermen, he preached the sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. By standing up, no doubt, on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee and speaking to people who were scattered around on that hill and maybe even down by the shore of the sea. Many of the things that Jesus did in his life were centered around this sea. And many of the good things that are associated with a body of water are associated with this sea. But notice what happens. It receives and it gives. And it gives a fuller tide. It gives out more than it receives. Water comes into it from the north. Not only that, but there are other sources. Water comes in from other ways. And then at the bottom or the southern end of that sea, there is a fuller tide that goes out into the Jordan River. In fact, there's a very wide section at the southern end of the Sea of Galilee where many, many people go now to be baptized. Perhaps in some instance ceremonially more than obediently. But to be baptized in what is called the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized, and most of it now is done in the southern end of the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful sea. Judy and I had the privilege of riding on it in 85, visiting these places that I've mentioned to you, stopping at the town of Tiberias, which is there now, and eating a fish from the Sea of Galilee that you might imagine was called Peter's fish. And you could eat it with its eyes still in or with it out. I chose it out. It is a beautiful place. A beautiful sea, one of the most beautiful places in Bible lands, and it's used here to teach the lesson of receiving and giving, being a channel, in a sense, through which the blessings of God flow to other people, taking in but giving out even more than is taken in. The second verse describes the Dead Sea. If you read in one of the Bible dictionaries, like Smith's New Bible Dictionary, you will find it saying that this sea is probably 25% salt. It has such a salt content that if you were to drop an egg in it, at least a third of the egg would stay above the surface and the egg would float. And even some of us who have such difficulty in swimming would float in this sea because of its salt content. It is a sea where there is no marine life. The salt content of it, the brine aspect of it, as indicated in the song, is just not conducive to marine life. And even around the edge of it, there is very little life. It is thought by some, although this cannot be proven completely, that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were in the section toward the northern end of this sea, and may even be covered, the place where they were might even be covered by the northern end of it. It is near what is called the Mount of Temptation, which is a mount with very little vegetation, at least at this time, where Jesus is thought to have been when he was tempted of the devil, at least in two of the three temptations that were given, the one concerning stones to bread and the one of looking out at all the lands that he could see. In the general area of the Dead Sea, there just isn't any vegetation. It just looks like everything is lifeless. It has been about 8 years now since I was there. And yet I have some stones in my office that are just as salty as they can be. I looked at one tonight that I have in the shelf there along with some other stones. And when I picked it up, there was salt all around on the shelf. That's the sea that is called the Dead Sea. You don't find many things in the life of Christ associated with this part of the Bible lands. In fact, you don't find very many things at all associated with the Dead Sea, at least not like the things that we mentioned associated with the Sea of Galilee. And it's not hard to understand. Because there's a contrast between the life of the Sea of Galilee and the dead environment of the Dead Sea. And the one thing that makes it what it is the fact that it doesn't have a stream that goes out of it. Water comes in, even a wider stream than at the top of the Sea of Galilee. But water does not flow out at its southern end. Water only evaporates, and that's one of the reasons perhaps that there's such a high degree of salt, high percentage of salt in the Dead Sea. And you see, the idea that is presented here in this verse of the song, as you think about it, is that there is a Dead Sea. It is receiving, but it is not giving. Contrast with the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee receives and gives. The Dead Sea receives and doesn't give. When I read about that sea, I think of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, who seemingly wanted everything for himself instead of giving to others. The rich farmer in Luke 12, who tore down his barns and said, "I'll take care of me." The rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, who evidently did not even want to give the crumbs from his table to the beggar Lazarus that was there who was hungry. And perhaps others that you can think of in the Bible that tell us the kind of person that is indicated by this Dead Sea. On the other hand, when I think of the Sea of Galilee, I think of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. What's mine is yours if you need it. Even though you're not one of mine, you're not from my country, you're not of my type, we might say. He said, "What's mine is yours if you need it." And I think of Barnabas in the last few verses of Acts 4, who was willing to sell what he had and bring it and give it that it might be used for those people who were there in Jerusalem surrounding the situation of Pentecost in Acts 2. At a time when Ananias and Sapphira lied, Barnabas was willing to share what he had and to give. His attitude was to use what he had to serve others. And I especially think about Jesus Christ, about whom it is said in Acts 10:38 that he went about doing good. The Sea of Galilee receives and it gives even more. The Dead Sea receives even more than the Sea of Galilee, but it doesn't give out. It only takes in. It only selfishly takes the water in and doesn't give out to be of service to others. The Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea. Now with that in mind, again, listen to the third verse. Which shall it be for you and me? Whom God's good gifts obtain, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, James 1:17, rains on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5. We brought nothing into this world, we'll take nothing from it, 1 Timothy 6:7. In other words, all our blessings are from God. Shall we accept for self alone or take to give again? For he who once was rich indeed laid all his glories down, even gave up heaven, that by his grace our ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. The invitation of Jesus tonight is expressed in that last verse particularly. When you think about what Christianity means, it's like the Sea of Galilee. It receives and it gives, not like the Dead Sea that just receives for itself. When you think about the invitation of Christ being extended for us to be baptized into him for the remission of sins and become a part of him or to be restored, it's all suggesting that we get like that Sea of Galilee and not be like the Dead Sea. I would urge you tonight to look at your life, particularly from the standpoint of blessings coming in and blessings going out. Are we like the Sea of Galilee or like the Dead Sea? If you are not like the Sea of Galilee, but more like the Dead Sea, perhaps you need to think seriously about responding to the Lord's invitation tonight. As we sing this song and especially ask this question, think about your life and your relationship to Christ. And if you need to respond, come as together we stand and sing.
Receives the rippling rills and streams that spring from wells of God, or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with glad unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream now turned to brine lies Which shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take to give again? For he who once was rich indeed his glory down, that by his grace our ransom raised, should share his wealth and crown.
Seated, please. Closing song will be number 311.